so gracious and so just hungry for what God's been speaking through Johnny and through myself. And it's a privilege to obviously ever get to minister to God's sons and daughters, but especially to minister to ones who are so ripe for the fresh thing that God is doing in your midst and in this region. So just happy to be up here. I want to kind of pick up where I left off yesterday morning, talking about the idea of reorienting ourselves. And I want to just go a little deeper into that. Reorienting ourselves to what this is all about. We were each kind of dropped here, seems like, in the midst of a war zone. And we talked a lot about that yesterday morning. Johnny has been just laying out line upon line for you guys of this understanding that the kingdom isn't just some ethereal concept, but the kingdom is actually something practical and tangible. And it is the expression of the real him. It's the truth of who our God is as love and what love actually tangibly, practically looks like. If I love my kids, then I actually serve them in very specific, intentional ways that communicates to their hearts that I love them. You know, I'm a taxi driver and I'm a nurse sometimes. I'm a cook, a cleaner. Depending on the stage, you're a human napkin, you know, at certain ages. And all of these were meant to translate to their hearts in the culture of our household through their growing up years. It was meant to translate to their hearts the understanding that they're loved. And in an ideal world, which is where this is all headed, the seven primary areas of culture in every nation were meant to be an expression of the love of a perfect father to his sons and daughters. And again, just to kind of re-hit on a point from yesterday morning and what Johnny has been speaking on as well, this perfect father, although he desperately wants intimacy with everyone he's ever created, and he wants everyone to choose a relationship with him through Jesus, he doesn't love us with that agenda. Because he is love, and again, love isn't just an idea. Love is a force. Love is a power. Love is God. God is love. And so when God loves us, when he gives himself to us, he is giving nothing less than the force of love. And love by its very nature, and God by his very character, is constantly being poured out. And there is a real live, more real than any chair you're sitting on or anything you can wrap your arms around right now in this realm. What is more real than that is this river of life and love that exists and comes out from under the throne, the seat of authority that God himself sits on. And this force, this river of love, is constantly being poured out and constantly searching out the lowest place, any crack or crevice it can get through to hit its mark. And we are the magnet for this love. We were created to experience and to intimately know this love, this God. Now, we also talked about how in the Garden of Eden, we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and from that moment forward, we had, like we all do now, a propensity to look at something or someone, and more specifically God, through this filter of our circumstances and whittle him down to the truth about God is whatever I'm going through right now. He didn't heal my mom, who cried out, prayed, believed with everything within her that she would be healed of cancer, and she wasn't healed. So if I were to define God by that, I certainly wouldn't think he's a healer, which hopefully you're far enough along in your relationship with God to know, whether you've seen it with your own eyes or not, he is a healer. And I can't whittle God down to my feelings. My feelings come and go constantly. I can't whittle him down to what's going right or wrong any given day. But because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, our brains are literally wired to look at something or someone and try to decipher or discern good or evil. That's why Adam and Eve immediately looked at themselves naked. They had been naked all along, walking with God, having amazing relationship with him. But they looked at themselves for the first time after they ate of that supernatural fruit, and they looked at themselves like we all look at ourselves in the mirror. Is it good or is it evil? You know, is this looking right or not? And they looked at themselves and they felt shame. They felt all the things that cause us to cover up in all the ways we cover up. So we were born into a battle, and the battle is over one thing. It's not a battle between big God and a little smaller Satan. The battle is between the enemy, who has no power of his own, and our souls. And he comes in because he understands our propensity to judge God through our circumstances. He comes in from very young, sometimes before we've even drawn our first breath, and he whispers lies. And he attaches lies to the circumstances that we go through or that we're perceiving. And the lies are pretty straightforward, pretty simple, but incredibly painful. And the lies are always about who God is, who you are. Our identity, because we were created by our Father, our identity is inextricably connected to who he is. And when we don't properly perceive him, because we've whittled him down to our circumstances, we don't properly perceive our value to him. And when we don't properly perceive our personal value, we don't properly perceive the value of the other sons and daughters of God. I remember just a few years ago, it's probably in the last 3 or 4 years, I had an understanding that I'd never had, and I've known God for as long as I can remember. I've had a relationship with him, but I thought that I had gotten my value from Jesus. And I thought that other people had value when they understood their need and accepted Jesus. And what God showed me was that the whole reason that Jesus came, the whole reason that God took on flesh and sent his son to the earth, wasn't even so that he could die. It was to show us the truth of our Father's heart towards us. And in so doing, to give us our correct understanding of our value and the value of others. Jesus was proof of our value to our Father before we knew we needed him, before we accept him. And of course, within the understanding that he came to show us our Father's true heart for us, he had to restore relationship by laying his life down, by being resurrected from the dead, by ascending and sending back the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he did for us, to lay our lives down for him, to give our Father the thing that he's always wanted, true intimacy with his sons and daughters. True intimacy cannot happen apart from mutual trust and mutual knowing each other. So the battle, the war that you've been dropped down into, of an enemy against your own soul is over the knowledge of God. The truth of who he really is and his true heart towards you and who he says you really are. Okay, so that's just a little review. We also talked about the fact that we're all on an obstacle course. I gave y'all Johnny's, one of his quotes, one of my favorites. Your destiny is an obstacle course designed by God to maximize your capacity to love. I'm just going to say it one more time. Your destiny is an obstacle course designed by God to maximize your capacity to love. God tells us that we get to take three things into eternity with us. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. So it is to our advantage that we embrace the fact that this is indeed an obstacle course. That means there are things that are going to be continually in your way that are going to slow you down, that you're going to have to come over. And he's given you access to absolutely every resource you need to succeed and to grow in love. And the truth is, he often doesn't intervene in our circumstances the way that we want him to, or even the way that we know is his true heart towards us. And when that happens, it's almost irrelevant whether it was the enemy that snuck one in or God said, I'm going to let this go. We know he's not the author of sin or pain, but we know that their precious pain is precious to him. And every bit of strength that it takes for you to come over those things that you're coming over, they mean a lot to him. Because they translate into what the war is all about, the knowledge of who he is. Every obstacle is an opportunity, if we'll see it, to know an aspect of him and his heart towards us that we couldn't have known otherwise. So there's always a bigger thing that he's doing. And if he's not doing it, then he's taking what's happening and he's redeeming it constantly. He's the GPS. Remember our GPSs that used to say you'd make any wrong turn at all and it would immediately start recalculating. It would tell you, recalculating. But that is our God. Because another aspect of who he is Redeemer. And as Redeemer, he is constantly recalculating everything for our good. And our good is to know him like he knows us. Of course, that won't happen in its entirety until we're face to face and we have eternity to explore every aspect of his face and his countenance. I can't wait. Okay, I just want to give you a little teaser of heaven. Johnny has made it very clear biblically, and I agree wholeheartedly with it, that this is not about us hunkering down and waiting on Jesus to return because things are just going to get so bad and everything is going difficult in our lives and in the world is just one more sign that he's coming any moment. Jesus will return. But there's more to be accomplished. There is more of the kingdom. There's more of heaven to invade earth. And yet, I believe that part of our reorienting is to stay in touch with eternity. Every bit of pain you go through is a gift if you'll receive it as that. It brings with it a gift. One of the gifts that I received from the pain of losing my mom when I was young is the gift of being very aware from a young age of eternity. And what that translated to my heart was a sense of intentionality. you know, a lot of teenagers and young people, they don't have, you know, they're not very in touch with this understanding of death or life for eternity, and so they just kind of live based on whims. And many of us got stuck there. And the Lord wants us to know that He's okay with us having a heart that longs for eternity. As long as we don't translate it into just hunkering down until He rescues us, right? So we're not rapture-minded, but we are heaven-minded. Someone explained it to me this way one time, and it meant so much to me. They said, the whole reason that we're here is to be birthed into eternity. Just like the whole reason that a baby is in the womb for 9 months, the point of the baby being in the womb is what it's going to be birthed into, its earthly experience. So compared to the long life that we were originally created to live, that's a very short time in the womb, even not really for those of us who carried the 9 months, but it's a short, relatively short period of time. In the same way, we're in this earthly womb. This experience here on earth is all for the point of preparing us for eternity. We don't know a whole lot about what that means, but I want to list for you some things that are listed, and I just pulled them all together throughout Revelation. When John was speaking to the different churches, and he talks about when you overcome, I'll just say it this way, when you come over every obstacle that God has put in your obstacle course that He designed just for you, these are some promises that He's given us. So we're being birthed into the point of all of it, all of eternity. Here are a few of the things. A glimpse. You can expect to receive in heaven as you remain an overcomer here on earth. You'll be given access to paradise, the original Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve lost access to, where you'll be allowed to eat of the tree of life. This can kind of sound like one of those game shows, you know. When you win, you'll receive this and this and this, But God, like, knew that we needed to hear. He knew we needed to see a little glimpse. And we've heard these. If you've been in church long enough, you've heard these. You've heard them in worship songs, etc. But let's, like, open our minds to getting this on a more real, tangible level. Okay? We lost access. There was a literal paradise, a Garden of Eden, that absolutely still exists in the spirit realm, and there is still an angel there guarding our access to it for our own good. But there will come a moment when He is told, your job as security is done. Let Him in. And we will go in and we will feast on the tree of life, a true, real, supernatural tree with real supernatural fruit. He says in Revelation that we will not be hurt by our death. You will die one day. I will die one day. But because we are overcomers, we will not be hurt by that death. He says that we'll be given hidden manna. I don't know what that is, but that sounds really cool. Hidden manna. You'll receive a white stone with your new name on it. Names are a big deal to God. Remember how we said Moses asked to see God's glory, and then God set it all up so that he could see it and it wouldn't kill him? And when God showed him his glory, it says he caused all of his goodness to pass before him. His glory is simply how good he is. Then it says immediately, God proclaimed his name to Moses. And he said, I am the Lord God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in mercy. God wants to be known. He wants us to know what his names represent. Your name, when someone speaks your name, it's more than your name. It's what comes to mind when they hear your name. It's your reputation. And God, in his humility, has turned his reputation over to time and history and a society that is progressively growing up into the knowledge of who he is and what he's like. What humility. And he is allowing us in layer upon layer upon layer to understand the nuances of who he is and what his names are and what they mean. And so even in eternity, there's a yet another name that he gives each of us. We'll read in a minute that he actually has a new name as well. So if you don't like your name, you're getting a new one there with your new body. And I believe in our name will be the essence of our true identity. I remember when my daughters were all pretty little and I was trying to make it through the grocery store. That's always the most stressful time when you have little ones and you go through there and they're, you know, everything's on eye level that they want that they really shouldn't have. And so you're constantly saying, no, you can't have this, you can't have this. And you finally get there and, you know, you're usually in a hurry. And I was just super rude and grumpy to my kids. And I cared what the cashier thought about me in that moment. And I just looked at her and I was like, I'm really not a mean person. I just felt this need to explain myself. But do you ever feel like your triggers in life draw out of you behavior and feelings that you know aren't the real you, which actually makes it worse because you just get so angry? I could just be someone different if I didn't have all these obstacles in the way. Cool thing is that even now he already knows your new name. He already sees who you really are, and he hears the cry of your heart beyond your cries. A couple more things. You will be given authority over the nations as you overcome here on earth. In heaven, you will be given authority over the nations. Somehow the nations will still exist, sheep nations. There will be governing to do. He'll give us the morning star. We're going to get a star. I don't know what that is either, but it's some version of Jesus in star form. I don't know. He will clothe every single one of us in white garments. I've heard from people that have had these encounters in heaven that are seers that the garments there are like alive, and they're sound and they're light and they're an expression of our hearts. What we're clothed in, kind of our life song. Woo! Okay. He'll personally wipe away every tear from your eyes. I love that. Because I got some tears that I've cried that I think I want to ask some questions about. Maybe I won't care once I'm there, but I'm like, I hope you're taking inventory of these tears because we need to talk about it when I get there. He also says that he will give us free access to the fountain of life. And your name will be in the book of life forever. There's a real book there, and your name is going to be written in it. Jesus will proclaim your name with his voice, a tangible, real, live voice. He will proclaim your name with his voice with the most perfect pride and love before the Father and all of the angels. Your name is going to echo in the throne room. Y'all, this is a big deal. Jesus will make you a pillar in the house of God. Now, some of you might not be as interested in this one if you don't like tattoos. Jesus will tattoo you with the name of God. You're going to get three tattoos, actually. The name of God, the name of the city of God, and his own new name. Be thinking about where you want those tattoos. We're going to reign with him forever. There is ruling and reigning to be done. You are being prepared. The point of all of this, this little glimpse into heaven, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Everything you've had to overcome and you've yet to overcome, it's worth it. Let that sink into your spirit, man. It's worth it. He is worth it. I love it that he started this whole reality TV thing on HGTV because it's giving us yet another glimpse of heaven. He's so good to give us like these practical pictures of something that's actually eternal. You're probably wondering where I'm going with this. Extreme Makeover. Extreme Home Makeover. I used to love to watch that show. You get to the end and just, you know, the family's like weeping and they can't believe that whatever tragedy they've been through that got them to this point, like it's literally in the way that it's been decorated and everything was thought through with them and what they've been through and their challenges. It's been thought through with all of that in mind. So Jesus is preparing a literal mansion, a home for every one of us that we're going to walk through with him, and he's going to just, with joy unspeakable, walk through every single detail of that house, that mansion with you, and tell you, when you went through this, I thought of putting this here because I knew it would speak of what you overcame and how you chose to believe I was this despite what it looked like in the moment. And I knew that you loved this. And I knew that you enjoyed this. He cares about it all. Y'all, life can feel so random, and we can feel like we're just being bumped around from, you know, highs and lows and difficulty to the other difficulty. But God says he is taking us from glory to glory. There's so much in that word, glory. It's the glory of who he really is and the glory of who you really are. The glory of who he really is to us and for us and who we really are to him. And all of this is going to unfold for all of eternity.